Start your mornings with radio's favorite morning team, Dennis and Tawny, and Good Morning Westchester. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, right here on 1460 WVOX. 1460 WVOX.
Everybody, welcome to the Steve and Lou Show, or the Lou and Steve Show, no matter how you call it. The phone number here is 914-636-0110. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Lou, how have you been?
Very good, very good.
Good. How was your weekend?
Very good, very good. Before we get to the show, I'd like to make two announcements. The first announcement is congratulations to Dennis Nardone. He had his 70th birthday bash in Silver Lake. I would have been there, but it was my brother got married that weekend. He had a backyard wedding, and that was the second thing I was going to say. And beautiful wedding, beautiful. They did it. My grandsons put the runner down so they could walk down the aisle, and it was beautiful. It brought a tear to my watching my grandchildren do that. My grandkids did that, and it was a beautiful time, and he started it off right, my brother. I got to say the truth there. As they were walking down the runner or whatever, they were playing the Beatles, All You Need Is Love. Right, so there was no political talk there. Right. You know, and you had millionaires there. You had moderate people. You know, it was everybody, all type of people that was at his wedding. It was 140 people in his backyard. Yeah. And it was set. I think All You Need Is Love It by the Beatles. The tone was set by that. And everybody just talked about, you know, and none of the conversations, you know, a couple of times something was brought up about Cuomo. The other person would say, well, this is the world we live in, you know. He goes, he'll say, well, you know, it's a lot different. We were kids in the 50s and the 60s. And everybody was, that's how it ended. It was like, this guy does this. This guy should be, you know, kicked out of all. None of that. It was just a great occasion. More talking about sports and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the times in the 50s and the 60s growing up than anything else. All the conversation was going that way.
Oh, that sounds like a nice time. And I got to tell you, politics and religion shouldn't be talked about in public at parties. Well, but that's what you hear, but it's never respected. So that's why I think conservatives like you and me and our friends have gotten the short end of the stick on that, because the left have been very scrupulous in enforcing that. And I think conservatives, you know, it's a kind of a live and let live approach. I think it's either the rule or it's not the rule. And I think the best rule is let things start out friendly and nice and soft. And if you have to get into heavy issues, that's great. I thought you were leading us up to a joke. I thought you were going to say your brother started out by apologizing to his wife, because I think that may be the greatest skill in marriage.
All right. You know, it was funny because I think he set the tone by All You Need Is Love. And, you know, from the beginning, you know,
that's
it was
beautiful.
It was like from that time on, everything was, you know, no political talk, no nothing.
Right.
It just was like everybody growing up. People there, young people, old people, you know, but everybody talked about the 50s and the 60s growing up. And
what was the musical?
He had a little bit of, basically it was all 50s and 60s music.
A band or recording?
No, he had a DJ, but they didn't, you know, it was almost all 50s and 60s, you know, Motown and stuff like that. But it was good. It was a good occasion.
That's wonderful.
What I want to start the show off tonight, Steve, is about Lorraine Carl called up last week, and I couldn't really answer her because we were running out of time. We had a couple of callers backed up. She talked about the pot issue or whatever. Here's why I'm totally against this. Okay, this is not for your freedom. This is, you can say what you want. It's nothing about freedom. It's about another way to generate money for taxes to go in cities' general funds. This is what that's about. And another thing here is, here's the main thing. There, you know, you have a couple of drinks. The cop pulls you over, gives you a breathalyzer test. You're stoned. You get a ticket. You go to jail or whatever like that. How do you test somebody who's been smoking pot? You know, you're smoking about 3 or 4 joints. You're riding around the car, the light turns green. You say, wow, cool, green light. You're not moving. You're just staying at the same red light. You know, there's too many things. Another thing to add on to that is that everybody with insurance lately, you're in pools. So if you're making this pot legal, you're going to have a lot more accidents. Insurance premiums are going to go up across the board with everybody because there's more way of people being intoxicated. And that reflects not everybody's insurance because mostly all insurance is grouped in pools. And that's another thing that's going to happen.
Of course.
And the last thing here is, you know, what are we telling the kids? What are we telling a kid in 5th grade and 6th grade? Hey, it's all right if you start smoking pot. It's nothing bad with that. It's legal. The government legalized it. The government legalized it. Totally wrong. And the last thing, and I'll leave it with this, Steve, what happens on the market? The pot goes for $25. They say municipal purposes, $25. The black market is going to increase even more because people are going to say, you know what? I could go on Main Street and get the same thing for $5. And the government don't get nothing. I save $20 on buying a pot. And you're going to create more of a black market because people are going to say, you know, people used to smoke a pot now. Increase it. Everybody can smoke now. It's legal or whatever. So you're increasing the black market, which puts more of a strain on local police departments. Steve?
No, I think it's for sure. Let's face it. Eastchester has, according to reports, decided, at least the town council, I believe, has voted, and I believe it's going to stand. There will be no distribution in Eastchester, I believe. If it's lawful to smoke it in the state, I guess it will be smoked there. I think that's a good example. I can assure you that Scarsdale is not proposing a business improvement district devoted to marijuana. The smart communities who prize their image, and I know image gets a bad rap, who prize their image and prize excellence like New Rochelle used to do on a wide scale, will not be relishing the thought of selling pot and getting revenues from it, but will be dreading the idea of it because, according to some defense attorneys I know, firsthand they said usage will increase. My business, speaking for themselves as defense attorneys, Lou, will increase because there will be driving incidents, there will be acts of violence, there will be much greater business for defense attorneys. The prosecutors will be very busy. Your progressive Westchester County DA will have all sorts of things to play with, as she has, according to The Weekly last week. She dismissed all marijuana prosecutions. Well, again, it's a grand philosophical question. I grant you it's not a simple question, but I don't think we should be welcoming legalization with open arms. And as we heard last week from Lorraine, the council person in New Rochelle who welcomed the opening of a marijuana marketing district on Lincoln Avenue, I think, if that's an accurate quote, and I don't doubt Lorraine, but I'm not quick to ascribe stupidity to council people, even though it's been seen a great deal, I will say if that's an accurate quote, if any member of government is looking forward to creating entrepreneurship from marijuana, that person should have his or her head examined. This is not a thing to celebrate or to promote. It's a recognition that marijuana usage is widespread, Lou. We all know it. We've all admitted when we were young and silly, we knew lots of people who smoked pot.
And I did myself, to be honest.
Right. And I think it's worth facing and accepting. Decriminalization is fine. But welcoming it, marketing it, announcing it, and Lou, getting ready to spend all the proceeds is scary and sad. I think it's a mistake.
To me, it's another thing. What example are we setting for the kids? That's the main thing here. You know, your kid goes into junior high school and then getting that experimental age there, you know. Well, you know what? I'm going to try it, you know. And, you know, people get to that stage or whatever. And I think it's totally wrong. We should be worried about other things in this country or whatever.
Absolutely.
They're worried about pot or whatever like that. For people with cancer or people who need it for glaucoma, yes. But for recreational drug, no.
Right. It's, again,
I totally agree with
accept
that.
Reality, and the reality is its use is widespread, Lou, but don't promote it. Don't promote the earning of revenues. We know it's going to cause hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenue. All your politicians will be promising to spend it on their favorite subjects, Lou. Infrastructure, we're going to hear from some people. Fighting crime from others, like education was going to be the goal of off-track betting. Remember decades ago, Lou?
Yeah.
Off-track betting was going to solve our education problem. No, the education problem has gotten worse because this so-called lockbox, as it were, was never enforced, Lou. And, of course, somebody's going to be telling you, we'll use the proceeds to fight white supremacy. It's a plaything for politicians. We should not be promoting it, Lou. And let me ask you, how many mothers and fathers are going to be patting their child on the head and saying, go on, Sonny, go on, daughter, go out there and get high, and let's see what music you can compose or book you can write. This is the wrong symbol for us. I don't think we should be relishing this future.
You know, catching back what you just said, during the years, the mob made millions of dollars with OTB. The OTB's taken over by the government, and it goes bankrupt. So there's your answer.
Right.
There's your answer right there.
The magic touch of government entrepreneurs.
That's your thing right there. OTB went bankrupt. The phone number is 914-636-0110. We got everybody on the line?
No, I'd like to just comment.
All right, we got to go to a break. That's the music.
But I want to talk about Lorraine Paul afterwards. She had another good idea last
time. Okay.
National news. Here is the latest update from Fox News Radio on 1460 WVOX.
Fox News. I'm Pam Cuso. A mandate from the U.S. military.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is seeking a waiver from President Biden to compel service members to get coronavirus shots. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby expects a new policy to go into effect September 15th.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. New York lawmakers are poring over evidence as they decide whether to launch impeachment proceedings against Governor Andrew Cuomo.
As part of the committee's analysis of the sexual harassment allegations, it will review the very detailed report submitted by the Attorney General.
Charles Levine is the Democratic chairman of the State Assembly's Judiciary Committee. Governor Cuomo remains defiant, saying he did nothing wrong. America's listening to Fox News.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News. From the Fox News Podcasts Network, it's the Fox News Rundown. Start your day with a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. A daily morning podcast going far beyond the headlines, tapping into the massive reporting resources of Fox News to provide a full picture of the news of the day.
I'm Dana Perino.
I'm Brett Baer.
I'm Jessica Tarlov.
I'm Chris Wallace, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Now, WVOX traffic.
We're looking pretty good out there. No accidents to tell you about right now. Some heavy traffic in both directions on the Cross Bronx Expressway. Looking pretty good at the Hutchinson River Parkway and hitting the brakes at West 230th Street on the New York State Thruway. In the traffic center, I'm Lisa Rothman for 1460 WVOX.
Everything you need to get started in the morning.
Every morning.
Good morning, Westchester, with Dennis and Tommy. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, right here on 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX.
The local rock group down the
street is trying hard to learn their song. Serenade, the weekend squire just came out to mow his lawn.
Everybody, before we get to Lorraine's first, before we get to Lorraine, Steve wants to say something.
You know what? Since Lorraine called in, she's better at expressing her idea than me, so let's go right to her. She had something in mind last week I'd like to explore further.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hey.
Good evening, guys. I just wanted to correct something, Steve. The council person represents Lincoln Avenue. Yeah. They did not say that it would be going on, you know, the shop would be going on Lincoln.
Right.
But the thing is, I think that I know the citizens of New Rochelle should know from government where these shops can go now with the zoning codes we have.
Right.
Because they will be able to create a code for this or change codes.
Right.
So, you know, I'm going to ask Chuck Strom, I think he's going to be on the radio tomorrow morning, to, you know, where we can go and get a map and see exactly.
Well, you know, the zoning is public record. So the present zoning, is what it is. So I don't think it's unreasonable to say if there is going to be retail of this new new product, it is likely to go here. If that's changed, well, let's see what can be done. But I would strongly urge that there is some commercial zoning on Lincoln, unless I'm mistaken, at the intersection Memorial and Lincoln. There is at least one or two stores open, one or two vacancies. As far as I know, again, unless it's written very clearly, any zoning change, that retail sale could go there. In fact, one of those locations is something of a grocery store. So we need to see what is proposed. But I think the general sentiment you reported about practicing entrepreneurialism.
Yes, that was disgraceful.
I think that's just being flippant and just missing the point. This is not the time to encourage usage by giving secondary or third purposes to it. The main point of marijuana is, unfortunately, in government's hands, raising revenue, which we all wish were spent more wisely. And I think the reality has to be faced, everybody, that the main effect of this law statewide will be increased usage of marijuana. That has to be faced.
Well, you know, Steve, the New Rochelle School District did something good. Okay. They had programs at the high school to enlighten parents about this, especially when kids started vaping, which they did, and you know, they weren't supposed to. So I'm wondering, will they be having classes or programs to enlighten people about parents about this?
Yes.
Though kids are not supposed to be smoking it at, you know, at that age.
Right.
But it's just, and what happens if a bus driver shows up after smoking pot an hour before he's supposed to drive his bus, and the kids smell pot? I mean, what are you supposed to do?
Good point.
There's real side. There's side issues here.
Yes.
The smell factor, which doesn't necessarily attach to drinking, except the tobacco usage there is. I don't think this is ready for widespread usage. I think a responsible state would perhaps adopt this on a trial basis, maybe in a select location. There are ways to do this. This has not been explored adequately. All they're talking about is increased revenue for the state. Last thing this state needs is unjustified new income for unspecified purposes, if you ask me.
Well, here's what I say, Lorraine.
Yeah.
If you need it for, like, cancer, glaucoma.
That's something totally different from your doctor.
But using it for recreational is totally wrong.
Right.
That's how I see this, Lorraine.
It's just not, I don't know. I mean, we are desperate to have money, right, in New Rochelle?
Exactly.
We are, because we failed in so many other things.
Exactly.
But Is this what we're supposed to
no
have?
No way. No
I
way.
I mean, the bordering towns, Largemont, Pelham, Scarsdale, they're certainly not opting in for it. So what do we become, a dumping ground?
And we're going to create a big growth in the black market, too, in this city.
Yes, you're right.
Which we're trying to redo Main Street. So all those nice buildings we put there, you're going to create more of a bad element there.
Well, right. Let's face it. There's essentially no small retail in New Rochelle like it used to have. Before I was here, I was told of Macy's Mall, which was at its height a great place with unique places like Jan's and other places for food and fun and product. I realize that's the state of the world today. A lot of it has been centralized and put on the internet. Uh-huh. But there are still communities with nice, unique retail and interesting districts. I don't see how this is going to foster that. We need to find new ways of replenishing our sales revenue.
Right, I agree with you totally.
But Lorraine, before we go, maybe you can call back another time, I would like to explore further your contribution last week to the idea of having something of a community. I think you participated in this, a community summit or a community panel on the future of the city, business and play and recreation
and cultural.
I think it's an important idea. I think Bill contributed also. I think very important. Should it involve the chamber, or maybe it should just be generally people and businesses and government where appropriate? I think we have to do something, everybody, to get the general public involved in civics again. That's what we're talking about.
And I'd like the school board to look into this as well, and how do they feel about it?
I would certainly love to see them involved, of course, the schools.
Right. I mean, it's going to affect a lot of things. It's just not something to say, okay, we want to do it. I just have a feeling it's going to be in areas that are downtrodden already, and this is just putting the nail in the
coffin. That's the natural effect. Unfortunately, economically, things go downhill, Lou, and I think we have to accept that it is going to affect the less wealthy neighborhoods first. I don't think that's in anybody's interest or anybody wants
that.
Especially when you put million-dollar buildings up in downtown. You're going to create a problem down there.
Without a doubt.
You're going to bring more of a bad element down there, and they're going to nest down there with new people coming in here.
Right. And if they're going to quote, you know, how great Denver is, Denver's not that great anymore.
No.
And they have shops where you could buy it. They have edible shops.
Let me tell you something.
Are we going to have bakeries?
More recently. Lorraine, more recently, I was in Seattle last week or 10 days ago. There's marijuana, great availability there. There are many shops. It has not contributed one advance to that community. Perhaps it's added sales tax revenue. Bully, I'll tell you, it has not made that city better. If you ask me, it's made it worse.
All right. I agree.
And Seattle had a wonderful, people going there, tourists all the time.
Great industry.
It was just part of their economy.
Sure was.
Who knows now what's going to happen.
All right, Lorraine, let me get...
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lorraine. Let's get to Mike.
Thank you.
Mike from Pelham.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Mikey, what's up?
I just wanted to weigh in on this conversation you're having about marijuana. They had said... all the politicians, they always talk about, people of color get busted for marijuana or for drugs more than white people. And, the only way to stop that is to legalize marijuana. But seriously, I don't think that's thinking it out completely the way you guys are talking about, and also the fact that it's a drug. Is it a pathway drug? Does it lead to other things? The jury's out on this. Some people say yes, some people say no.
I totally agree with you, Mike. I'll tell you the reason why. You buy this pot for recreational purposes, all right? Guy smokes two joints. He says, this stuff ain't strong enough. I want to get something a little stronger. So he's going to experiment. They only have so much. They're probably going to have regulations on this pot. It only goes to this much, percent alcohol. I'm rating as alcohol on a bottle of liquor or whatever. So what's going to happen now, the guy's used to getting that high. So he's going to say, I'm going to go to the black market. This guy got 80% proof or whatever like that. That's another thing that's not looked at here. You're increasing the black market throughout these cities here. I speak the truth. I lived on the streets. I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And Mike, it's got to be admitted also, I think, as everybody's inferring, that legalizing it will certainly expand the pool of potential users. It's going to be reaching people through advertising, or even if it's not media advertising, just signage on stores. There are going to be some people who would never have tried it before. They didn't want to go through the, you know, the craning of their necks and the machinations of buying it illegally. Here it'll be more available to people, even adults who are not underage, never haven't been in decades. It's going to increase the usage. And if you're concerned about minority law enforcement picking on minorities, you may say increases of prosecutions for the laws around marijuana. We didn't say it's going to be completely thoroughly unregulated. We're saying it's under circumstances going to be lawful. Underage, there will be age limitations. You won't be able to sell it to minors.
You know, for medical purposes, I say okay.
Okay, that's been established.
Yes, okay, of course. But recreational purposes, no.
Well, that's what this is all about.
You're right. But there's another step to it that people aren't even discussing. You know, people go out to lunch, they have a cocktail. So now, and also to tie in with that, if you want to have a cigarette at your job, people usually go outside and have a smoke. Now what's going to happen? They're going to go outside and smoke marijuana?
Yeah. All right. All right, Mike, that's the music. We got to go. Thank you so much, Mike. Thank you. You could call back. All right. We'll be right back after this quick break.